This message is a presentation of Pinnacle Baptist Church and the preaching ministry of Pastor Ray McBerry. Other messages like this are available online at pinnaclebaptist.com. The church is located at 2517 High Falls Road in Griffin, Georgia. If you're in the area, we would love for you to visit us this Sunday. Now, here's today's message.
Here we are now in Judges chapter number 18. We started a story previously that is, it's one of the last two stories in the book of Judges. It's an unusual story because it's the story of a man named Micah, not the prophet Micah, that's recorded in the Old Testament, a different man altogether. But this man, Micah, lived in Mount Ephraim, and you see it pictured here on the map. It's north of Judah, the southernmost tribe of Judah. Just to the north of Judah is the area where the tribe of Benjamin lived, and then just north of that is where the tribe of Ephraim lived. It's in the hill country, and we've seen the people of Ephraim in a couple of different stories, including the story of Gideon earlier in the book of Judges. These are, they're folks that live up in the mountains, and they are very independent-minded, just like folks that live up in the hill country today, I would imagine, in most places. So this man, Micah, though, he's the one that in the beginning of the story, he admits to his mother that he stole her silver, and she's saying, I'm so glad that it was you that stole my silver. Quite the opposite response that you would expect from a parent who's just found out that their own child stole from them. But he admits that he stole the silver, 1,100 talents of silver. And the mom says, well, I was going to give it to you anyway. I was going to have the silversmith fashion it into a graven image and a molten image. So basically, she was going to make a statue of a god and give it to her son as a gift anyway. The strange part about the story is that the mother tells him she was going to do that in order to praise the Lord, talking about Jehovah, the God of Israel. Now, you and I know that God does not wish for us to make any graven images of Him to be worshipped. You couldn't make a graven image of our God, for our God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, the Bible says. But she had this graven image made and apparently overlaid with silver or an identical one beside it. There was a molten image made of silver. And this man, Micah, took this god that his mother made for him, a good, respectable Israelite woman, and he made a house of gods, apparently had more than just this one god that his mother had made for him, and he basically set up his own religion there in the hill country of Ephraim and appointed, ordained one of his own sons to be his priest. Started his own religion, made his own son the priest of the religion. A very strange story, especially in the land of Israel. But remember, this is in the book of Judges. And we came across that verse in this story that said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the way it was in Israel at that time, before the first king of Israel. Everybody was just doing what they thought was right. And we made the comparison, the analogy between what Israel was then and the way America is today. Isn't that the same philosophy that a lot of Americans live by today? Everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. I mean, after all, today, the average American would say, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I ought to get to decide for myself what's right. And that's the reason that our society is in the condition it's in today. Nobody wants anyone to be an authority over them. Nobody wants anyone telling them what they can do or can't do. It's just a total spirit of rebellion is what it is. But consequently, the moral fiber of Israel was falling apart because the spiritual condition of Israel was falling apart. they weren't worshiping the true and living God, and even those who claimed to be worshiping the true and living God, like this man and his mother, had a very wrong, unbiblical view of who God is. I mean, if you think that you can worship our God, the God of this book, by making a little statue and setting it up on the mantle above the fireplace and praying to it, why, we've missed the mark. If that's who we're praying to, it's not the God of this book. Anyway, this man set up his own little house of gods. Then along came a Levite one day. And remember, the Levites were the priestly tribe of Israel. They were the ones that were supposed to be the priests for all of the nation of Israel. And so when this Levite came through, the man Micah, again, not the prophet Micah from the Bible, a different Micah altogether, he stopped the Levite, gave him a place to stay for the night, and he said, "Listen, since you're a Levite, look at my house of gods that I've set up. Wouldn't you like to just stay here, live in my house, and be my personal priest for my house of gods?" So here's this man. He set up his own religion, got his own house of gods. Now he's hired his own priest. By the way, I'm pretty sure, first of all, that Levite should have said no because of the spiritual wickedness that was going on. But number two, how likely do you think it is that this priest that he's just appointed is going to tell him anything he doesn't want to hear if he's the one footing the bill for him and putting a roof over his head and food in his stomach? Not much chance of that. So then the story continues, and what we talked about last week, we saw that the tribe of Dan that lived not far from Mount Ephraim, they had not done what God had said to do to possess the land that God had allotted for their tribe. They were supposed to run the inhabitants, the Canaanites, out of the cities that were in that territory that God promised them in the promised land. But they didn't do that. And as a result, they were just kind of living in tents while the Canaanites still lived in the cities. And the Canaanites did whatever they wanted to, and the tribe of Dan weren't happy because this is supposed to be their land, and they're just living like strangers in the land that God supposedly promised to them. Well, the problem was they didn't do what God said to do and go out and drive those people out because they were afraid of the people. They said they're too strong. The cities have too great of walls. And consequently, they didn't have the faith, the trust, and they just disobeyed and didn't do what God said to do. Otherwise, God would have helped them like he helped the other tribes that did do what God said to do. So the tribe of Dan appointed five men, the Bible says five valiant men, to go look throughout all the rest of the promised land and find some place that the tribe of Dan could migrate to and settle down that would be easier. Isn't that what a lot of Christians are looking for today? They want the easy way. They want the easy Christian life. And folks, I'll just be honest with you. God didn't promise us that the Christian life was going to be easy. He just promised he would be there with us as we go through the Christian life. I remember one time when I was out soul winning, when I was a Sunday school bus captain, 30 years ago. I was in college, and I was going around knocking on doors on a Saturday, and I met this man that came to the door, and he invited me to step inside. I didn't usually do that, but I started witnessing to him, and so he asked me to if I wanted to come inside, and he was listening to me as I witnessed to him, and finally he said, "Listen, I've already done all that. I've already asked the Lord to save me," he said, "but I don't want anything to do with God anymore." I said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "Well, the man that told me how to get saved told me that if I'd become a Christian, everything would be smooth sailing from then on." You see, unfortunately, whoever it was that led this man to the Lord gave him a false impression of what the Christian life is supposed to be. Consequently, that man wasn't going to church anywhere anymore because the first time he hit a bump in the road, he thought God had abandoned him and hadn't kept his end of the deal. Well, the truth is, God didn't promise us that everything in life would be easy even after we're saved. He just promised he'd be with us to go through those times. Well, here's the tribe of Dan, though. They send their five men, and their five men go on their expedition looking for a place. So they leave Dan. They go down through here. They're meandering up. They get here to Mount Ephraim, where this man Micah lives, who has the house of gods that he has set up for himself. And lo and behold, those five men, they see how apparently wealthy Micah is. He has this house of gods that are made of silver, maybe gold too, we don't know. But apparently he's well off. He's hired a man as his own priest. He's pretty well off. Those little molten silver statues, they were worth a considerable amount, besides whatever else he had there. So they continue on their way, but before they leave, they ask the Levite, who is the priest of this man, they said, listen, tell us, as we go on our journey, are we going to have success finding a new place to move to? Well, this Levite, first of all, he's definitely not representing God, even though he's a Levite, but he tells them the same thing you would expect him to tell anybody in that situation. He tells them what they want to hear. He says, yes, you're going to find the perfect place. So they say, oh, great, that must be a sign from God. We're doing the right thing. So they go on their way, their journey up here. They ended up, they found a city north of the Sea of Galilee, way up here to the north. And this particular city was already settled. It was, by the way, in the territory that belonged to one of the other 12 tribes of Israel. It was not in the territory that had been allotted to Dan. It was in another tribe's territory. Plus, the people that were living there were a peaceful people, but they were related to the Zidonians, which are the Phoenicians. It's the modern-day country of Lebanon. It's up here to the north of Israel. But those people were related to the Zidonians, and they were far enough away from the Zidonians that they lived in a city thinking they were safe, but they weren't safe because the Zidonians were too far away to be a help to them. So that's where we pick up now in chapter 18, Judges 18, verse number 8. So these five men have come back to the tribe of Dan. And the tribe of Dan have heard about this new place, this new city where they're going to go, that's going to be easier to conquer than the place God originally gave them. So those five men come back, bring the report, and the tribe of Dan, most of them, pack up, and they start their journey to go to this place. Why? Because they didn't want to do it the hard way, God's way. Instead, they wanted an easier way, a softer way. So they're going up there to attack this city that, quite honestly, is a lot easier target than those cities inhabited by the Canaanites where they live. So here they are on their journey. Judges chapter 18, verse 8. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtaol. Those are cities down here in the land of Dan. We saw the city of Zorah in the story of Samson already in the book of Judges. And their brethren said unto them, what say ye? And they said, arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. So these five men tell the rest of the tribe of Dan, listen, the place we found, it's the perfect place. Why are you still sitting there? Come on, let's go. Verse number 10, when ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure and to a large land. For God hath given it into your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. So these five men are saying, listen, you're not going to believe how wonderful the land is, and it's a place God has for us, for the tribe of Dan. The only problem with that is they're just speaking off the cuff. They're not saying what God said because, hey, this piece of land is the land God gave them. That's the land God told them to possess. They're just making this up as they go. Verse 11, and there went from thence of the family of the Danites, out of Zorah and out of Eshtaol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. So, in other words, they've got an army of 600 armed men that are leading the way for the tribe following behind them. And they went up and pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Wherefore they called that place Mahanadan unto this day. Behold, it is behind Kirjath-Jearim. So they're making their way as I drew the dotted line, going up on their way to this place north of the Sea of Galilee. And they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim and came unto the house of Micah. So now the whole tribe of Dan, or most of the tribe of Dan, the ones that are going on this journey, not all of the Danites left the land God told them was theirs, but most of the tribe did. And they come to this place right here in Mount Ephraim, where this man Micah has set up his own house of gods and is supposedly worshiping Jehovah by worshiping statues of these little gods of silver that he and his mother have made. Verse 14, then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish and said unto their brethren, do ye know that there is in these houses, talking about Micah's house, an ephod, which is the garment the priest wore, and teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image? Now therefore consider what ye have to do. This is where we left off last week. The five men who are showing the rest of the tribe of Dan the way to where they're going, they stop off as they're passing by this fellow Micah's house, and they said, by the way, you see that house over there and the house of statues or gods beside the man's house? And everybody else said, yeah, what of it? And these five men said, listen, when we came through before, we went in there. We saw what was in there. And they began to tell them of all the silver and all the wealth that this man Micah had. And the five men turned to the rest of the tribe and they said, so what do you think we ought to do? So I kind of left that as the cliffhanger last week. What do you think the rest of the tribe of Dan is going to do? We already know these are folks that are not the greatest character because, number one, they're leaving the place God told them to be, looking for an easier place. So do you think it would be beyond them to take something that wasn't theirs, perhaps? Well, let's see what they do. Verse 15. And they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite. Now, remember, the Levite is the one that works for Micah as his personal priest. Even unto the house of Micah and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. Well, here's this man Micah. He has his sons and the Levite that he has hired as his personal priest. But here are the Danites with 600 men armed. There's not much argument to be had there. The Danites go into the man's house of gods, takes all the silver statues out of there, takes a fancy garment that the priest wore, and they're marching out the gate. Well, here's the Levite standing there at the gate as they're walking out. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? In other words, what are you doing? Verse 19, and they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? So they basically, they're stealing all the little silver gods out of Micah's house, and then they say to his Levite priest, hey, how about you just come with us? Stop complaining, just come with us, and you could be our personal priest. Well, again, I want to say here, this is one of the most unusual stories in the entire Old Testament. We're at the end of the book of Judges. The story is put in here to show us how far out of God's will the people of Israel were. You've got an Israelite stealing from his own parents, then using the silver of the family to make images, supposedly to Jehovah, that he's worshiping. He's hired his own personal Levite, which is not in any way biblical. And then you've got this tribe, an entire tribe of Israel, that's not possessing the land God gave them because they want something easier. It's too hard. So they're coming up. They're going to steal these false gods that have been made by Micah. What a crazy story for the people of God to be involved in. But I wonder if we examine the lives of Christians in America, how many similar crazy stories would we find? Let's face it, we're not living in the era of our parents or our grandparents. There are things going on in America in quote-unquote Christian homes, Christian families, that our grandparents never would have even imagined. And yet these crazy things are going on among the children of Israel, supposed to be God's chosen people. What a crazy story. But let's continue on. So they try to bribe the Levite into becoming their priest. Verse 20, and the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. He said, you know what? Sounds like a good deal to me. Let me carry those for you. And he joins right along with them. Verse 21, so they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. This seems a little bit surprising, perhaps. They put their families out in front of the procession, but the reason they're doing that is because they don't want Micah and any of his neighbors to come up from behind them and attack them from the rear and harm their families. So that's why they're putting their little ones and their families out in front of them. Yes, sir?
Three, four, five different tribes of Israel.
That's a good point.
They're going to cause discontent all the way down in doing stuff like this.
Sean makes a great point. By not staying where God appointed them and going through the territory of these other tribes, he's right. They're basically infringing upon the territory that belongs to the other tribes, and they're now stealing from these other tribes as they go through. And it's not going to go well. Verse 22, when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together, and they overtook the children of Dan. So, sure enough, Micah and his neighbors, they take off to try to catch up to this group that stole his gods. By the way, those aren't much gods if they can be stolen and carried away, are they? I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a God that rescues me, not the God that I have to go after and rescue to bring back. But that was the God of the house of Micah. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? So here comes Micah and his neighbors up behind him, and they're hollering at him, hey, stop! Well, the tribe of Dan turns around, 600 armed men, and they said, why are you coming? Why are you even here? Well, obviously, everybody there knew why they were there, but these 600 armed men, they don't anticipate any fight. After all, there are 600 of them, and they're armed to the teeth. Verse 24, and he said, ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, what aileth thee? Can't you just hear this fellow Micah? He just sounds to me, I can just hear him now, this mealy-mouthed, whiny fella. You've stolen my gods. Boy, again, what kind of gods are they that can be stolen that you have to go rescue them if they're gods? But he said, you've taken my gods and you took my priest, and what more have I? In other words, poor, poor, pitiful me. Verse 25, and the children of Dan said unto him, let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. The 600 men of Dan, or maybe it was just those five that were kind of the spokesman, they said, listen, let's give you some advice. Why don't you just turn around and go back home before some of these fellows standing here with us decide they've had enough, they've heard enough, and they run you through. Why don't you just turn around and go on back home? And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back into his house. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priest which he had, and came unto Laish, this city up here that they spied out, this peaceful city that would be an easy target, unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, which was born unto Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. So this city, if you look at a city of ancient Israel with the land divided among the 12 tribes, sometimes you'll see it identified as the city of Laish, or sometimes you'll see it called the city of Dan. Not the territory of Dan, it's down here. That's where Samson is from. But the city of Dan, where the tribe of Dan moved. Now, in all honesty, there's a possibility, a good possibility, that this story happened early on in the time period of the judges, which means that not all of the Danites moved up here. Some of them stayed in this area. That's where Samson was from, and he was a Danite, he and his family. So not all of the Danites moved up there, but a good portion of the tribe of Dan just picked up lock, stock, and barrel and moved up there, captured this city, renamed it for themselves, and rebuilt it for their own city. But the story doesn't stop there. Let's continue on. And the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set up Micah's graven image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. All right, so Shiloh is where the tabernacle of the Lord was, the one they had made when they were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, based on the pattern that God gave Moses at Mount Sinai when he gave him the Ten Commandments. The tabernacle, which was supposed to be the temporary temple used by the children of Israel, it's north of Jerusalem. It would have been about right here on the map. That's where Shiloh was located. Here's the tribe of Dan, moved up to the city they've renamed Dan, and there in that city they set up these statues that they had stolen from the house of Micah, the Ephraimite. And the verse next to the last verse in the chapter tells us that that house of gods remained in the city of Dan in northern Israel, where they worshiped these little statues of false gods and goddesses until the captivity of the land. Now, the captivity of the land is still several hundred years off in the future. Later on, in 721 BC, it'll be the Assyrians that come in and capture the entire northern kingdom of Israel. But that's several hundred years later. That means for the next several hundred years, those statues, those false gods, continued to be there, worshiped by the Israelites living in the northern part of the Promised Land. Now, these are supposed to be God's chosen people, but they're not only worshiping these statues, they're supposedly doing it in the name of Jehovah. What a crazy, perverted view of who God is and what they were supposed to be doing. By the way, I'll mention one last thing before we finish the story here. After the period of the judges is over, that's when Israel ended up getting their first king. Anybody remember who the first king of Israel was? Saul. Then after Saul, who was the second king?
David.
Then one of David's sons became the next king. Who was the next king? He was the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon. There we go. Saul, David, and Solomon. When Solomon died, Israel had only had three kings. But when Solomon died, the kingdom was split in two. You had the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, so two tribes. The other 10 tribes formed their own country. They broke away. They rebelled. They were known after that as the kingdom of Israel, and this was the kingdom of Judah. When the northern kingdom broke away, King Jeroboam, their new king, said, "Listen, I don't want our folks going down to Jerusalem to worship in the land of Judah." So he said, "Let's set up two golden calves to worship." Those two golden calves that were worshiped in the northern kingdom of Israel for the next several hundred years, one of them was at the city of Bethel, or Bethel, which is located in Mount Ephraim. It's that place where Jacob, remember, earlier had seen the vision of the ladder going up to heaven, where the angels coming up and going down the ladder. Jacob's ladder is what we call it. They set up a statue of a golden calf there, and a statue of a golden calf in the city of Dan in northern Israel. Why? Because it had already been a city for several hundred years where they were worshiping these false gods anyway that had been stolen from the house of Micah. I say all that to say this. These people claimed they were worshiping the God of the Bible and yet doing these abominable things. We need to be very careful in America. I don't have time, and I won't do it this morning, but there are lots of things going on in America in churches in the name of Christ that are not godly, that are not Christian, and that are not biblical. When you're looking for a church, or you're looking to listen to somebody on the radio or the TV during the week, find someone that lines up with this book. Because I assure you, there are plenty of preachers, the curly-headed one included, that are preaching a whole lot of things that are not part of this book. We need to make sure our relationship with God, our faith, our religion, is based upon this book and the God of this book, not one we've made up because that's what we want Him to be. Anyway, there's our story for today. Yes, sir? That's a good question. Sean is asking, who's the judge that came on the scene to fix this problem? This story and the story that follows it, there's not a judge actually mentioned in these stories. And to be quite honest with you, I think there's some evidence in this story based on who it says became the priest of the Danites once they got up here. He was a close relative of Moses, the man that they named here, Jonathan. So this was probably something that happened early on in the book of the Judges. even though it's listed for us, it's recorded for us at the end of the book of the Judges. I think it was recorded at the end of the book of the Judges, perhaps because it was someone other than the prophet Samuel that wrote it later on, or perhaps it was because this story and the one we're going to see next week, which is even crazier than this one, were added simply to provide proof of everything that had been said in the rest of the book, that the people had so gotten away from God, their morality had devolved also. Because the story we encounter in the last three chapters of Judges is the most lurid, unbelievable story, I suppose, in the entire Bible. And it's one that, quite frankly, it's a disgusting story. But it was included for us to see exactly how far down Israel had gone. And yet, these things, based upon the people that are mentioned by name, it seems like it was at the early part of them possessing the land. So it's just showing us this kind of behavior had been going on throughout the entire story of the Judges. All right. Well, you've already got a little bit of a preview of the story that's coming up to end the book of the Judges. So if you're able to and you're not down in Americas next week, be here for Sunday school, and I hope to see you next Sunday. Lord, thank you for a chance to study the book of Judges. And Father, even with things that are not good stories, with a happy ending, help us to see, Lord, there are still things for us to learn from it. I pray that you'd help us to be the kind of Bible-believing Christians we ought to be, even in a world around us where not only the lost, but even those who claim to be Christians are so far off from the Word of God. Help us, I pray, to devote ourselves to being men and women of the book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.